name is Emma Francois, and I'm joined by my sparkling co-host.
Who are you? Hi, I'm Isabel Lord.
And we have a super exciting and interesting podcast episode for you today. We're going to be talking about tomboy, that's in quotes, style, and what it means for kids as they're figuring out kind of clothing and gender and identity and all that kind of formative things. Mm-hmm. And then we're talking about education, and also Isabel's talking about a bunch of things. So Isabel, would you like to start us off?
Yes, I would love to. First thing is first is some news, some quick fashion news, fashion lifestyle
news. She's saying this with jazz hands.
I'm jazz hands and like jazz shoulders. I'm not sure if that's a thing.
Jazz upper body.
Should be. I'm feeling super jazzy. Okay, so basically, first, in case anyone, like, ever walks into IKEA, if you've ever found yourself walking into IKEA and you're like, I love this bag, I just wish I could spend some more money on it, well, here you go. This is for you. Balenciaga is now selling in a, quote, IKEA-inspired tote bag for $2,145.
So odd. Why? And also by IKEA inspired, they mean like
the bright
simplicity.
Blue. No, they mean the bright blue, like waxed canvas, ginormous bag with the straps. It's like the one that's like half your body. Someone looked at that and they're like, I'm gonna make that expensive.
I like it.
So you know what? It's a lifestyle.
This is the world we live in.
Honestly, I want to know. I want to meet who buys it because I feel like it's a matter of time before.
I hope we see someone
on the street
bag so we can just go and like.
I don't know what I would do. Would I laugh? Would I
take a selfie with it?
Yeah. No. Can I touch your bag?
The most expensive thing I have ever touched.
I know. Wow, okay.
So how would you describe this color blue? Yeah.
So what made you
purchase? And how did
this make you
feel? Yes. How is your soul?
Yes.
So next.
On to the next one. Rihanna wore an $8,500 Gucci outfit to Coachella. This is not just a normal $8,500 Gucci outfit that one wears to Coachella. It is, in fact, a rhinestone-covered body stocking. You know, kind of like those morph suits that people wear, like, on Halloween, or, like, where you just want to be, like, or, like, team spirit days where you're, like, all blue. This was all rhinestones. Because she wanted to be, like, incognito, so naturally she dresses as a rhinestone
like
and
a
wears...
like a sparkle Power Ranger.
Exactly. That's 100% what
although,
she looked like.
Isn't it hot at Coachella?
I'm not sure that thing... It didn't look like that thing had a lot of good ventilation. Plus, she was wearing jorts over it and a tank top over it and sunglasses, so at least her eyes are protected. She must not have gotten a sunburn, though.
Because it's so reflective. The sun's like bouncing off on, like, everyone else.
I know. I feel bad for her, like, security team.
She's, like, a walking lightsaber.
She's literally a weapon.
I feel like her bodyguards are, like...
They're like, Jesus.
Don't look.
Jeez, Rihanna.
Dude,
I'm not being paid enough for this. Yeah.
Okay.
So, and then finally, this
super exciting.
Yes, super exciting. This falls in the same line as Rihanna's rhinestone covered outfit. Some of you may be familiar with the Frank Body body scrub beauty line. It's being carried at Urban Outfitters. I think it's Australian. They sell coffee ground based body exfoliators.
Which is interesting because that's a Norwegian.
Maybe it's a Norwegian brand. I don't know. I thought it was free.
It's so interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're known for their, like, sugar and coffee ground scrubs.
Oh, really? Interesting.
I feel like this is probably inspired by that.
Yeah, probably. It's probably all in the same vein. But on May 1st, they're releasing a shimmer glitter body scrub. That's right. If you're anything like me and you look in the mirror and you're like, I want to be more like a unicorn today... this is for you. It's basically a normal body scrub, but as they describe it, quote, it's like a round trip to Unicorn Island, you glowy mythical creature, you.
God.
End quote.
Have you guys been seeing all those? Decker said, have you guys?
You mean
I'm
me?
I'm so connected. Like every time I open up any web page, it's like
unicorns. I know.
And like it was probably my unicorn slippers that started it. Yeah, I'm sure you started this.
Yes.
So I feel like this is just an extension of that.
Yes. If anyone wants to explore the unicorn trend in edible ways other than Starbucks' new unicorn frappuccino, you can try the excessively bland but also incredibly sparkly unicorn bar at Buttercream Bakery that I forced Emma to eat, and I was the only one who enjoyed it, but it was sparkly, and we'll fight about this, but I...
Yeah. It's fun. It's nice. It looks pretty.
I just would never turn down an opportunity to eat sparkles. Okay, that's it. That's the news, everyone. Emma, back to you.
Oh, thank you. So, basically, I found two articles that I thought would be interesting to kind of look at together. The first one came out April 18th on New York Times. It's titled, "My Daughter is Not Transgender, She's a Tomboy." It's really interesting. It's written by a mother. Talks about how her young daughter in elementary school has always had a style of dress, but so that people always question whether to call her a girl or a boy, which the mother talks about how it's so great that people are so accommodating about that and so aware, but that they're not believing her. Like, she also is losing control over what she says she wants to be called because people do not believe her. Like, they see her wearing her dad's tie because she was really inspired by Patti Smith, and they keep questioning her. So, like, she's pulled aside by the principal, by teachers, by doctors, all with a good intention.
Right.
But, so I think it's really interesting to see, like, how clothing is shaping her experience of growing up.
Yeah.
In elementary school and how authority figures are treating her differently, but I mean, it's so great that she has such a firm belief that this is her personal style, and she knows that she likes the fits of these more, like, quote-unquote masculine cuts. So I'm hugely inspired by her.
Yeah, for sure.
So we'll kind of set that aside for a second.
Okay.
Before I get all of your thoughts on this.
Yes, they're brewing.
The second article is from the Washington Post. It came out March 23rd. But I've been wanting to talk about this for a while. So the title is, "A Book About a Dress-Loving Boy Was Supposed to Teach Kids Acceptance Until Lawmakers Complained." I will make no comments about that very long headline. So basically, there's a book called Jacob's New Dress. It's a children's book. It came out in 2014. And basically, Jacob is a boy who loves to wear dresses. So the idea is that the children can, like, see that they can use clothes, like, they read the book.
It's more identifiable.
Yeah, and they can find their identity through clothing. So, obviously, like, for Jacob, he's, like, experimenting with different kind of identities for himself, and his friends are accepting, and he's using clothing to do that. So, it shows fashion, especially for children, in a really interesting light, because it becomes a tool that they can use to, like, show the world how they want to be perceived and also kind of understand, like, how they want to identify, especially, like, during these super formative years. The problem with the Washington Post story is about is that North Carolina lawmakers are trying to take it out of the syllabus. But it's interesting because it's in the curriculum because of Title IX requirements. So, and this is kind of the sad, interesting part. They succeeded in taking the book out of the curriculum, which I think is really sad. They replaced it with the book about crayons. It's called Red, A Crayon Story. Crayon. And I'll read this from the blurb from the article. It's a blue crayon mistakenly labeled as a red one. So it's the crayon's journey to find the courage to be true to your inner self. And it turns out they're like, now they're like, oh, actually, we're not super happy with this either. But I just think it's such a shame because, I mean, this book had such an opportunity to inspire young kids to, like, explore their identity and how they want to be perceived and identified. And I just think the way it viewed clothing had potential to be so empowering. I mean, obviously, children can still read it, but I know that, you know, lots of times these more, like, thought-provoking stories we're only exposed to through our education because they're not what we would normally pick up.
Right.
So I don't know if you have any thoughts on how, like, fashion is coming into education, education policy, and children's upbringing.
Right.
One thing that I thought was really cute and inspiring, the girl in the article, she said, "Why do I have to be a tomboy? Why can't I be a tom girl?"
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was really sweet.
That's really sweet.
This girl seems amazing.
I know. She seems like, I want to be her best friend.
She's literally just like screw all.
I know.
Like, what all the adults are saying. Yeah. And also, like, the mom is being
really supportive.
Super supportive. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just so impressive because I feel like at that age, from, like, personally, I was just so influenced by what everyone else is doing. So
yeah.
I've, like, the most topical example is I have curly hair. Everyone had straight hair.
Yeah.
I hated my hair for the majority of my 19 years on this planet.
Right.
And this girl, like, I feel clothing is so much more personal than hair. Like, this is just such a small example because, you know, I was born with this hair. You choose the clothes that you put on every morning, and that's what I love about fashion is how you can use it to...
Can manipulate it.
You can manipulate it, how you can use it as a form of expression and of sharing your identity with the world. And something that's really interesting across these two stories is how I just think is the role that authority figures play in it. You know, it both stories concern schools and the higher ups kind of dictating what, in the second story, what these kids absorb and what these kids learn, and then in the New York Times story, the first story, kind of how they present themselves, although I feel for the first story they're less so I feel like they're less constrained. I could be wrong here, but I feel like they're not telling her what she should be wearing, but they're trying to assign labels to her based on what she is wearing. And that's really interesting because we're in this period in time that is very much concerned with labels.
Yeah.
And because it's so fluid, I think, because the labels are becoming so fluid now, I think a lot of people are struggling, you know, and trying to be, you know, open and aware and understanding of others and how they identify themselves and the labels they use for themselves. But at the same time, you know, I feel like, you know, maybe we should just be making a move away from labels in general and just, like, like, you know, like, whatever, like, this is what, you know, just be you and you be you, and I don't need to, like, label you as a tomboy or tom or... I don't know, or lesbian or bi or anything like that. You know, you can just do your own thing and be, you know what, you can just be a unicorn. To return, you can just be a unicorn. And so, yeah, I feel like that's super interesting that these, you know, I applaud these teachers for trying to be open and understanding.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, maybe they should just be accepting almost to, like, a less stringent degree, you know, one that doesn't need a label to be accepting.
Know? It's really interesting. This has made me think of how on this podcast, like, lots of times I'll use the words, like, feminine and masculine to describe clothing and when I'm describing, like, the cuts.
Mm-hmm.
And I always, like, try to put it in quotes so that I'm, like, less removed, but I realize that part of why I would describe something as masculine, like a blazer in my closet, is because I'm trying to, like, find empowerment in the fact that I can take anything.
Yeah.
And I can take any word, and I can wear it, and it doesn't matter what it's implying or what it's saying, and I'm trying to, like, turn it on its head.
Uh-huh.
But I agree. I think that the better way to fight against that is to, like, delete that from your vocabulary and, like, start anew.
Right.
So that's going to be my new initiative.
I know. It's going to be hard, too. You know, how to describe something
so
that's
masculine,
you know, that we consider quote-unquote masculine as something other than that.
And then you start thinking about, so if I don't use the word masculine, I'm using the words constructed, like constricted, structured.
Right. Boxy,
maybe.
Yeah.
And then if I don't use the word feminine, like
form-fitting.
I'm talking about shape. Like, what?
It's almost,
then it's, like, so off-putting and, like, so, like, alarming what those two things mean.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it's, like, scary, like, what I've been saying. And I use these words, like,
all the time.
Like, most days when we're getting ready.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I've been inspired by...
For sure.
The book and also this young woman and her mom, too.
Props.
So, yeah. That's been my takeaway.
I love it. I absolutely love it.
So on to the next one.
So this is kind of in the same vein. You know, we're talking a lot about education in the last highlight. This concerns education in the fashion industry. Primarily the question, do you need to be formally educated in fashion, in fashion design, in whatever realm kind of you want to pursue? We can broaden the question in order to be successful. Or can you kind of bank on luck? This question, I've always been asking myself this question because I've never been formally trained in fashion. I'm at Georgetown, obviously. There is no real fashion training here. But I'm so interested in the world. And then today I was reading this relatively long-form article on Vogue about the founder and designer of Comme des Garçons. Her name is, I apologize if I butcher the pronunciation, but Rei Kawakubo. And she is Japanese. And basically, she studied fine arts and literature in college. And then, so she got lucky and was working for a textile factory and sales for the textile factory before leaving, becoming a stylist, and then eventually founding Comme des Garçons, which has been hugely successful. So I started Googling and came across, you know, Michael Kors left college after a year, also hugely successful. Raf Simons, who was formerly working for Christian Dior, studied furniture design, while Miuccia Prada grew up in a name of, the household fashion name of Prada. She trained was training to become a mime.
Wow, that's really cool.
Isn't that so cool? That takes a certain person.
Yeah.
But obviously also super talented. So
also Ralph Lauren never went to college, dropped out. Yeah.
Interesting. I feel like I read somewhere that Olivier Rousteing also. Yeah. But I'm not sure about that one.
Yeah, I feel like it's an interesting industry where, like, you look at, how luck and education and also family, like, are so, like, at odds with each other.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very, it's almost like, you know, I feel like in any industry, really, luck plays a huge role. There's so many people I know who their majors don't apply enough, and I feel like it's becoming increasingly common, but, you know, your majors don't even apply to what you end up doing. My friend's dad studied was an art history major, and now he has he cooks all the time. He has a cooking magazine and all that stuff.
I feel like it goes along with this idea of fluidity, and, like, we're trying to be, like, more accommodating. Mm-hmm. And also, like, I think that our society, we like to think that we value, like, merit and talent, which is what we were talking the other day about.
Right.
So that, like, you're gonna find what you're meant to do because, like, your skill set and, like, what you're best at is gonna, like, lead you upwards to, like, what you're meant to be doing and, like, what's gonna be best for society. But obviously, like, I think that's something that we believe in because we have, like, all these ideas of, like, American dream and the meritocracy. And that, like, if you work hard, you,
you will succeed.
Upward mobility.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think the reality is that those cases are rare, and I think it comes down to luck.
Yeah, to luck.
And, like, then, or, like, connections and money. And
right.
Family and class.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think that luck plays a huge role at the end of the day. And I think, you know, in the Voice's recent interview with Georgetown's own Jack DeJoya, which is live on the website now.
I love the plug.
He took an interesting, you know, we asked him what he thought, you know, one of the biggest challenges to our generations, specifically, like, Georgetown students, were today. But, and he spent a lot of time highlighting the problems, economic problems, highlighting problems of not being able to find a job. But he also highlighted the issue that so few jobs are given to people who don't have college degrees. Which was interesting, considering that he was addressing college students.
Yeah.
But it is a very real problem, and so I feel like while luck plays such a huge role, and, you know, this also factors into, luck also factors into whether or not you are able to go to school, and whether or not even schooling is right for you. Like, you may not fit in a schooling environment, which is what I think a lot of, which I know, I mean, Michael Kors just didn't, he went there and he was like, you know, I've been drawing for so long, I'm arguing with the teachers all day, I can't, you can't teach me art, you can't teach me what's right and what's wrong in fashion, which is something also that Ray Kawakubo, talked about, was that, you know, like, it's your job in fashion to break the rules and to recreate the rules, and are there even rules really at the end of the day? So yeah, there's
what,
like, a limit.
Fashion?
What is fashion? What does fashion mean? But yeah, I feel like at the end of the day, there's only so much you can get taught, but then at the same time, what does the weight of being taught have on your resume and on your future? And the quote-unquote luck that comes with it.
I think fashion is an industry in an interesting position to be, like, tackling with this problem, because a lot of the skill sets needed and that are missing in, like, the industry right now are lots of, like, the practical, like, physical skills, like, you know, that would normally be, like, taught down. You know, like, the more, like, vocational. Like, American colleges don't emphasize, like, we don't have as many, like, vocational schools as, like, other countries do. So, yeah, they're at, like, through mentorship programs and internships. I feel like they could help kind of, like, bridge this gap and, like, reach the people who don't have the means to, like, be getting, like, building their resumes and education and things like that. But also, it's such a busy and, like, self-centered industry. So take, like... a lot.
I think... Yeah, that was another thing that she was saying. I'm gonna keep...
Ray.
Was just in terms of, like, it takes a lot, was how... Like, what she considered her biggest failure was the fact that she spent the past 40 years of her life really working so hard. You know, she was saying staying, working in the office from dawn till midnight for the past 40 years of her life has really, you know, taken something from her. And that's what she, you know, the interviewer, this is a Vogue article, the interviewer noted that she carried, like, this weight of sadness kind of around her. And that was really why, you know.
So she's being celebrated at the Met Gala coming up in May with the costume exhibit at the Met. So we'll have to follow that.
Yes,
it's so heartbreaking that she's...
so unhappy.
Like, yeah, and just that, like, the toll of the work and the contributions to, like, this art.
Yeah.
That are just taking such a
toll.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know. That's something that I, like, am personally intrigued. I'm personally intrigued by the fashion world and by the art world, and we were kind of talking about this earlier in another discussion, but the role that sadness and unhappiness plays, you know, I think I have a friend of a friend of a friend who works as the manager of VIP or something for Tom Ford, so she spends a lot of time in, you know, she spends all her time, you know, with Tom Ford and within this circle, you know, she's traveling to Mexico all the time. She's, you know, she has all these connections.
Like living
Yeah, what I would imagine to be the life. And she recently got the opportunity to be the executive producer of Nocturnal Animals and was telling me how different the film world is from the fashion world, and how in the fashion world, she says, she's just so unhappy sometimes. You know, people, she says the people she's surrounded by just thrive on stress, on being unhappy, on kind of being mean, you know, and being so self-absorbed and absorbed in their technology, because that's really what it takes sometimes to, you know, I hope to be wrong, but sometimes I feel like that's what it takes to really succeed in these fields, is kind of a sort of self-absorption or, you know, alienation from others in order to push herself forward. And then she was talking about the film world, which she, you know, maybe she was glorifying it, but she seemed quite enamored with the life of the film artist versus the fashion design artist. And she said, you know, they're just so, the film artists are just so accepting and warm and happy and experimental. And, you know, she, yeah, it was very interesting to hear her talk, to compare these two art, these two sectors of the art form.
So interesting.
Yeah.
A little heartbreaking.
I know.
Should we end on maybe, like,
a happy note?
A fun fact or, like,
I know,
something good that happened to you today?
Yeah, should we do, like, not instead of, like, roses and thorns, should we just do roses?
Just do roses, yeah.
What's your rose?
Oh, my gosh.
I know, I couldn't think of one, so I popcorned right to you.
I guess I'll do a rose of the week. A barista told me that I smelled nice.
Oh, yes!
That was thrilling.
That's so fabulous.
And since that is the rose of my week, that gives you a really good idea as to
the scale
of life I am living. Definitely living life at an
11. At its largest, yes. I'd say a 12. I'd say 12? You're pushing a 12
That's
right now.
Two more than full capacity.
The full capacity. This one goes to 11, baby.
All right, so that's me.
Woo!
That's me this week.
Yeah.
What about you?
Let's see.
Also, I hope that you listening are also taking a second
to think about your roses.
Positive things in your life. To count your chickens,
to count
as
your
I would
chickens,
say.
As you would say.
Maybe listening to this was the light of your day.
I know, I hope so.
That would make me very happy.
That would make, you know what, that would be the light of my life. That would be the rose of my life.
Yeah. Just this.
This is so amazing.
This is a rose of my life.
It is. This and finding out that there's going to be unicorn sparkle.
Body scrub. So if you are walking on the street and you see a gold shimmering body with curly hair.
Is that Rihanna? No.
No, that is my quite literally sparkling co-host, Isabel Lord.
Yes, and then be sure to flag me down and be like, Isabel, you know what?
It's too much.
I would say, what are you doing? But then also, you do you.
You live your life.
You live your life. Label free.
Well, if you have any ideas on how the kind of like masculinity and femininity problem when describing clothing, please, please email us.
Yes,
we'd love
or comment.
To hear from you.
Comment.
Or
on.
Comment. Would you like to finish us off?
Should I take us off? Okay, I'm honored. All right, so to all you dear souls, please follow us on Twitter. Wow. On Twitter.
It's always something with you, isn't it?
Please. please, please follow us on Twitter at G-Town Voice or at Halftime GU. You can find this on www.georgetownvoice.com.
Really glad you included this www.
I know, I feel like I'm on PBS or something.
Viewers like you.
Or you can find this on iTunes by subscribing to the Voice Podcast Network, and please feel free to check out our other podcasts that obviously aren't as great as this one.
Obviously.
Because this is the rose of your day. but yes, we, and we'd like to thank Ben Sound for our music.
So thank you for listening. We will have more fun and exciting fashion, sparkling and educational things next week. Yeah. Have lots of roses.
Lots of roses and very few thorns.